Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the U.S. Secretary of Transportation has declared it's time to upgrade the air traffic control system. And what's this about reopening Alcatraz? Not to tourists, but to prisoners? Those stories and more next in the travel news.
Our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25 tells you how to avoid a fine while traveling. Hint, it involves portable battery charges for your phone and computer.
Chris Elliott joins us at 11:35 to talk about alcohol in the skies. Airlines make a lot of money selling drinks on flights, but what happens when someone is overserved? Chris shares some insights.
Mark has spent the week in northern Michigan on the Somewhere in Time film site, Mackinac Island. He shares his experience on the most magical of destinations with us at 11:50.
Time for another edition of Sacramento's favorite travel show. Welcome to The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Smarter Traveler, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along on a wonderful weekend, Mother's Day weekend, if you will. All brought to you by Sports Leisure. And Mark has been off on a fabulous trip, and I've been just trying to deal with the change in weather. It's been getting kind of hot here in Sacramento. How was the weather in Michigan, Mark?
Well, it's been unseasonably warm here also for the middle of May, Tom. But unseasonably warm for the middle of May on Mackinac Island means something in the low 50s and not too much wind. Because when it's in the low 50s on this island, the wind can blow and really, really be a problem. But it's really been quite remarkably wonderful. Also, one thing I didn't know was how many people came in the shoulder season to this island. In fact, one of the cruise ships that plies the Great Lakes was in port today. So when we get down to the end of the program, I'm going to tell you all about the Grand Hotel. And really, this destination is on a lot of people's bucket lists. And we'll tell you why it is on people's bucket lists at 11:50.
All right. At the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we take a moment out to bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And as always, time to bring you the travel news at the top of every show. And with it, here's Mark.
Well, all of those issues in Newark and Philadelphia the last week and a half with air traffic controllers has apparently gotten the Department of Transportation's attention. Flanked by airline executives, U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy on Thursday unveiled a plan to seek unspecified billions to build, quote, a brand new state-of-the-art air traffic control system. In a massive multi-year overhaul, the project would include replacing over 600 radars, installing anti-collision tarmac technology at 200 airports, and there's a lot more technical stuff here that most of us would not understand. But I will say, this is not the first time that the government has said it's time to overhaul the air traffic control system. So it's a little bit overburdened. And as I think I've mentioned on this program before, my father was an air traffic controller for many years. He hasn't been on the planet for a while, but it's a very stressful job. I can't imagine air traffic controllers, Tom, retire. I think it's at age 56 or 57 because the job is just killer. And so there's got to be enough people in the tower to make sure. I mean, I can only imagine how those guys in Newark felt and ladies felt in Newark when they lost all communication with aircraft for between 30 and 45 seconds. I mean, that's just I can't, like I said, I can't even imagine what that must feel like.
Yeah.
To be in a job and know that all these hundreds of people are in airplanes and you're responsible for them. And now you can't where they are.
You know, I have to ask, we've mentioned this on the air, and if you didn't know, Mark's dad was a air traffic controller when he was a young boy and used to hang out at the in the tower. At any time, Mark, did you ever think that might be something that you would want to do?
No, but I don't. I my suspicion is it's not a coincidence that I ended up in the travel industry based on being, you know, 4 years old and being in the tower and Sioux City, Iowa. And I just have to tell you, though, back in those days, this is before there were female air traffic controllers and there were very few female airline pilots. And the one thing I remember the most from 4 years old being in the control tower was the language was a bit blue.
Oh, wow.
Because it was an all-male environment. And so it was, I would say that it frankly lacked professionalism, you know, and getting the ladies into the situation and not being able to use multisyllable hyphenated words to talk to each other, I think has brought a serious level of professionalism to that industry. So congratulations to the ladies for bringing that along with them, a little bit more civilized. But yeah, this is long overdue. The FAA and the Department of Transportation over the years have made several attempts at this, some bigger than others, but it's something that should be going on all the time. So the situation, I hope, in Newark, they've been short of controllers for a long time now, not only in Newark, but at other airports. And so it's really and truly it's literally an accident or accidents waiting to happen. And so it's there are a lot of planes in the sky. And you look around, and we're going to talk about another thing with planes in the sky here in just a minute about National Airport. But anyway, I think it's good news. Whether or not it will actually happen is, you know, so far it's just political talk that people want to hear. But hopefully the industry will keep up the pressure, especially the airlines, I think, could really make a difference here. So anyway, enough editorial. Some historic hotels are being fixed up around the country. Particularly, here is one that's in California that's really a gorgeous place to be. The Hotel Del Coronado in San Diego is undergoing extensive renovations of $500 million. Wow. That will buy you a lot of furniture and carpet. They're going to have a new restaurant, an expanded room count, it says, which is kind of interesting. Maybe they're going to take some big rooms and make them into two. But if you have never been there, the Hotel Del Coronado, and you love I've been staying here at the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island the last few days. I would put the Grand and the Hotel Del in the same category. So anyway, the Hotel Del is going to get a facelift. If you're a sports leisure traveler, you can expect that when they are done, we will be there. Bring your wallet. Expedia quarter one sales hurt by weak demand in U.S. travel is the headline. Expedia says that first quarter sales resulted in a net loss of $200 million. Sabre, which is kind of the American system, saw a 30% year-over-year decline in quarter one air bookings, citing global softness in travel, a 30% drop to the United States. So there are certainly some signs that the summer is going to show some slowdowns for travel. I hate to tell people to wait to book things, but if you don't like the price somewhere and you've got a reasonable option, the prices of some of these popular places may come if they find that, you know, the demand is not meeting the supply. Orlando, Florida, meanwhile, says that tourism is nearing their pre-pandemic levels, showing signs of recovery. 75 million visitors last year, which was almost a 2% increase from 2023. So Orlando is pretty much back to where they were. Of course, that is the home of the big Disney complex in Orlando. JetBlue and Southwest topped the JD Power charts for airline customer satisfaction in 2025. We had another survey like this for you a couple of weeks ago. JD Power is pretty much considered to be the expert in this field. JetBlue ranked the highest for business and first class satisfaction, while Southwest led in economy. Both for the fourth consecutive year, Delta Airlines scored high, ranking second in business first class and first in premium economy. Of course, if you fly in the U.S. domestically, there generally is first class and economy. When you're flying internationally, there often are three classes, first class, business class, and economy. So Delta obviously is scoring high on international flights with flyers. We talked about this at the beginning of the newscast, no helicopters at DCA. Did you read this, Tom? About a week ago, somebody in an Army helicopter did a flight seeing trip over the Pentagon, and it caused several aircraft to divert that were coming into National Airport. And how ironic this is, because it's only been just a scant few weeks since a helicopter and a plane collided, and what, about 70 people lost their lives.
Mm-hmm.
What in the world? Back to the transportation secretary that who we mentioned earlier, Sean Duffy, called the incident unacceptable, stating that helicopter restrictions are crystal clear. So they are not going to allow any helicopters to fly in the D.C. Airspace any longer. He said that he suggests that no more helicopter rides for VIPs or unnecessary training in a congested D.C.A. airspace full of civilians.
Right.
So thank you, Mr. Duffy,
yes.
for standing up for us, because whoever the idiot was who sent that helicopter on a flight, I mean, literally, my guess is they were running some VIPs over the top of the Pentagon to give them a view, and three aircraft had to divert. That's the word stupid comes to mind there. President Donald Trump says he will reopen Alcatraz as a federal prison. Trump has ordered multiple agencies to rebuild the penitentiary, which was closed in 1963 over high operating costs. It's been a tourist spot for decades. Trump said Sunday he's ordered several agencies to rebuild and reopen Alcatraz, famous penitentiary prison that closed in the 60s. It opened in 1934 as a maximum security minimum privilege facility dedicated to holding the most incorrigible inmates. It housed several infamous criminals, including gangsters Al Capone, Machine Gun Kelly, but mostly held inmates refused to conform to the rules of other federal penitentiaries. It was a very bad place. The president made these comments last weekend, saying that that's not going to happen. Rebuilding Alcatraz would come at a tremendous cost. And these folks have said it would make way more sense just to build a maximum security prison someplace. You have all of this technology now. You don't need to put folks out in the middle of the water. Of course, Escape from Alcatraz, very, very famous movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great place to visit. If you haven't been there, sometimes it's a little eerie, especially as it gets older and older. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. Thanks for coming along. We were talking last week about this time that Mark and some of his sports leisure vacationers who had visited Kentucky were going to go to the Derby Day, which would have been a week ago today. Mark, how did things go at Derby Day there at Rudy's Hideaway?
Gosh, Steve and his people took super care of us. We had about 25 folks. They opened up early for us so that we could go in. They're closed on Saturday till 4 o'clock. They opened up early for us so we could come in and have lunch. And the Derby went off around 4 o'clock on kind of a muddy track. And so we ate a wonderful lunch, watched the Derby. And we even had two ladies in our group who picked the winner. And we paid them whatever the track paid them. We allowed everybody to make a $2 bet and paid them the track odds. So, boy, I'll tell you what, the one thing I'm reminded of, I only get to eat at Rudy's every couple of months, but I'm just reminded, man, the food there is really, really good. It's not cheap, but it's not particularly expensive. It's just a really nice restaurant atmosphere. It feels friendly there.
That's an understatement. Always get great service and great people, and we talked about it once. The people at Rudy's have all of the servers and the people that work there have been there way longer than you would normally find at pretty much any restaurant. Hey, if you haven't made your Mother's Day plans, talk to Steve. There may still be some reservations. They have a special Mother's Day meal set up for you. You can take a selection of their prime rib, filet mignon, lobster tail, and more. It's a 3-course meal. Moms get a chocolate-covered a strawberry and a carnation. And also, if you'd like, you can tip Mom with a $100 Rudy's gift card, and they'll give you a $20 gift card for yourself. Their number, 916-351-0606. Or better yet, just go to Rudy's website. There it'll have a link, and it'll tell you whether there will be any tables still available for Mother's Day between noon and 7. So there you go. It's time for our Smarter Traveler segment, and as we promised, we're going to talk about how to avoid a fine while traveling. Mark, what are we going to talk about?
Well, Chris Elliott's going to talk about being drunk on planes after the bottom of the hour. So
that might be one.
That would be one thing, but this is something a little less little less obvious, I think. Tom, you know how when you go to check in at the airport and you put your bag up on the scale and the agent behind the counter always asks if you have any lithium batteries or any things of that nature in your bag. And of course, none of us pay any attention and we always say no. But now the TSA has come out and said they're advising passengers not to pack portable battery chargers in their checked luggage.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking
at not putting it on, going in the inside the plane, but your option then would be to pack it with you with your carry-on, huh?
They want you to carry it with you because there have been a couple incidents lately. Now, we're talking about portable mm-hmm. battery chargers. We're not talking about things that plug into the wall here. We're talking about, those little tiny chargers that you can plug in, you plug your phone into and get some charge while there is no electrical outlet anywhere along.
Charging bricks.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're talking about. Not to pack those in your checked luggage because of two incidents where batteries have exploded or caused damage on planes. So the TSA has updated its guidance and prohibits those chargers from being in checked bags. So it is not banning power banks for travelers. That's the good news. These are battery-powered banks. Again, so there's two entirely different items here. I don't want people to panic and say, well, I can't bring my charger and plug it in on the plane. No, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the portable chargers that don't have a plug that will recharge some of your electronic gadgets. Don't put those in your checked bag. Put those in your carry-on bag. Whether you plan to use them or not on your trip, you want to put them in your checked baggage. Because there have been a couple incidences recently of those packs catching fire, or one of them caught fire, one of them smoking. You know, now on the airplanes, the flight attendants tell you if you drop your phone under your seat or something, don't try to get it yourself. Ask a flight attendant to help. They don't want you moving the seat up and down. Heaven knows airplane seats don't move much nowadays anyway. But they don't want you moving the seat around because that might cause the seat to crush the phone, which would then perhaps create this situation where the phone starts smoking or catches on fire on the airplane. That's the whole reason behind that new flight attendant announcement about not digging, or don't try to move around the seat to get to your phone. Let us help you with it. So if you disregard this rule, the TSA has the ability to charge civil penalties of up to $17,000 per person. So I don't see any instances of that happening right now. But if you left your power supply in your bag in the bottom of the plane and it caused a problem, and they had told you not to do that, I'm going to suggest to you that you would be liable for those civil penalties and probably some other things along the way.
Well, I think you're going to need your chargers, and it doesn't seem like it would be that big a deal to make sure that you have it with your person rather mm-hmm. than putting it under the plane. That's the outcome of that disaster. Really to emphasize here,
we're not talking about chargers that plug into a plug.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about chargers that don't have a plug that you recharge by, and so they're either operate by battery, generally a lithium battery. So that's what we're concerned with here is portable battery chargers for your stuff, not the stuff you plug into the seat, to the outlet near your seat on the plane. That's fine. Obviously, you're going to take those in your carry-on bag because you want to have it with you. But if that was in your checked bag, that wouldn't be an issue. It's just the non-plug-in battery powered packs that they're concerned with.
Do you think that when they scan the luggage, that they could spot a brick, one of those charging devices?
I do, but I don't, I haven't heard any instances of people who have, and if you are one of those folks, if you have had them, you've had your bag scanned and they said, hey, come back downstairs and pick up this piece of luggage because you've got something in an illegal, drop us a note at travelguysradio.com. I would love to know, but I haven't heard of anybody like that. So I think what they're trying to do is just strongly emphasize this so that people will follow the rule and they don't have to penalize anyone. Dreamed of taking a fall foliage tour in New England, and you're a mature traveler, I have the trip for you this fall. Your favorite travel guy is going to be hosting a trip through upstate New York. We are going to go to Lake Placid and stay several nights at the Grand Adirondack Hotel, which is really the best place to stay in Lake Placid. And then we're going to drop down to Cooperstown, which is home of the Baseball Hall of Fame, where we will stay in the beautiful Otisauga Hotel. This is really an upscale trip. And, you know, if you're a baseball fan, you've always wanted to go to Cooperstown, here's your opportunity. But if the person you're traveling with is not a baseball fan, Cooperstown is this lovely upstate New England village in New York with all kinds of wonderful shopping and restaurants, and you're staying in a fabulous hotel. If you would like more information on the Cooperstown and Lake Placid New England fall foliage trip, go to sportsleisure.com and join me in late September.
Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Don't forget now, links to our special guest and so much more can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Time now to hook up with the consumer advocate and road reporter and the guy that we go to for the latest on travel and information. And that, of course, is Chris Elliott. Chris, we find him today in Japan. Chris, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Pretty good here in the United States. How's Japan? What city are you in?
I'm in Tokyo. I'm in a residential area called Meijiro, and I'm actually looking at, it's a beautiful day here, and I'm looking at Mount Fuji, which has snow on it still. It's very, very beautiful.
So what is one of Chris Elliott's days like on the road? I mean, you're on the road all the time now. So you're constantly contributing to a variety of different things. Do you have a pattern? You get up in the morning and do your work and then explore later? Or how does that all work?
Yeah, well, right now I've been in the same place for the last few weeks. And normally I get up in the morning, do some catching up because of the time difference. You know, I wake up in the morning and I have all my emails from the United States that have come in. So I answer those. And then in the afternoon, I like to go out and do some reporting. So that's normally how my day goes.
One constant thing after another.
Yeah.
You know, for our listeners, Chris, that perhaps have joined us just recently and haven't had a chance to become familiar with Chris Elliott, consumer advocate, as we used to mention, you had a column in the Modesto Bee or Sacramento Bee for a lot of years before they got rid of the travel section. Give people just kind of an overview as to where they can find you and who it is that you write for on a regular basis, besides, of course, being a guest with the Travel Guys.
Well, that is my number one thing now, is being one of your guests, of course. Actually, it's funny you should mention that, because now the Sacramento Bee is carrying my column again, but just online. So if you have a subscription to the Bee, you'll be able to see my column in the paper. All but right. I contribute to a lot of other places. So I write about four nationally syndicated columns, mostly having to do with travel and also consumer advocacy. So I like to help people, and I've been doing that my entire career. I founded a nonprofit organization that helps people for free. We're a completely donation-based nonprofit, and so we rely on donations from people who we've helped and other supporters. And we just try to make travel a little bit better by not only advocating for consumers, but also going to Washington and pushing for laws that protect travelers. So that's, in a nutshell, what I do. And you can see my writing in all kinds of different places. I have a couple of websites, Elliott.org, Elliott.org is my main website and blog, but I also have a newsletter at Elliott Confidential, so that's my last name, and then confidential.com, and you can go and subscribe there too. And we cover everything, not just travel news, but sometimes also we write about just consumer issues that face people, things having to do with cars and appliances and that sort of thing.
Cool. Thank you both. That was very well done. And I will add in here, just as a sidekick, that there's a link to Chris's website at travelguysradio.com if you're driving around and haven't seen that. And welcome back to the Sacramento Bee. They just solicited me for advertising, Chris, for the first time in like 15 years. All right, listen, let's get on with the subject of the day here, which has to do with alcohol on planes. You wrote a column, Is It Time to Ban Alcohol on Planes? What are your thoughts on alcohol and travelers in metal tubes being hurtled through the sky?
Yeah. It's funny because just before we went on the air, we were like exchanging stories about what's happened to us in the past. I think everyone has a story to tell about sitting next to someone who maybe has had too much to drink. The problem is that now the FAA has a zero tolerance policy toward alcohol, which is a good policy, I should say. But the airlines also make money from selling alcohol. So the flight attendants are incentivized to pour drinks for you. And there have actually been memos circulated out there from airlines that basically say you have a sales quota that you have to meet to the flight attendants. And there are these conflicting issues. Also, I think people want to have a drink or two before they get on a plane, especially if they're a nervous flyer. So it is a complicated issue. But where it gets a little bit less complicated is where it affects you personally on a flight, which is to say when you're sitting next to someone who's drunk. And I interviewed people who were next to people who were drunk. And it's really, really difficult to deal with a situation like this because, you know, you don't want to take away their right to have a drink or two. But at the same time, if you have too much, then you get to a situation where people act extremely unruly and violent. And we've seen that. We see almost every week in the news, you have a story of someone who had one or two too many drinks and then went a little crazy on a flat plane. So we really, it's an issue that, you know, some of the Middle Eastern carriers have already decided on. They've decided to go dry. Some of the U.S. carriers did this during the pandemic. They stopped serving alcohol. And I think now we're reaching a point where maybe it doesn't make sense to impose some common sense limits on the amount of alcohol that flight attendants serve.
You know, Chris, a lot of times I've seen this happen where a flight is delayed, there's things that go on, and the passengers are inconvenienced, and, you know, the flight attendants will try to make up for it by buying you a drink, giving you a coupon or so forth. And then, of course, there's always a situation where if you're flying to Vegas from anywhere, there seems to be always a lot more alcohol consumption, people kind of warming up for the Vegas scene, I guess. If you're next to somebody and you see that they're clearly intoxicated or they're on their way to be and they're having an attitude and something's going on, what do you recommend that the passenger do?
Well, you're absolutely right about that. This is not just an airline issue. This is an airport issue as well. You have bars at the airport that are serving people. And when there's a delay, people go to the bar and have one or two or three or four drinks. And then they get on a plane, and then they get more. And sometimes the flight attendants will hand out those drink vouchers or just start pouring drinks as a way of apologizing for a delay. And that can really lead to some problems, as you say, especially if you're headed to Las Vegas. I talked to some experts on etiquette and on flying for this story, and they told me that if you're seated next to someone who has had too much alcohol, you don't want to confront the person about it. I mean, you know, in the story, I talked to some folks who were like giving them the eye and saying, you know, you might want to cut back on that. But it usually doesn't end well. What you really want to do is talk to a flight attendant, preferably away from the intoxicated passenger. See if you can be moved. That's the easiest way of dealing with it. Because if someone is really, really intoxicated, there's kind of, you know, you might be in the splatter zone. You don't want that to happen. So if there's no more seats on the plane, then you've got to talk to the flight attendant and get them to cut the passenger off. And usually flight attendants are good about that, but I've seen it sometimes go too far where they just keep serving the drinks.
Well, the splatter zone, Tom.
I never thought
about it that way, but yeah, it does. It does kind of conjure up a bit of a visual. Okay, thank you, Chris, for that smarter traveler comment.
By the way, Mark, you probably fly more than even Chris Elliott. Have you had to step in, call in a flight attendant? I know how you feel about pets on planes, but you know, has the alcohol, the drunken passenger situation been part of your travels?
It happens from time to time, Tom. I agree with all that's been said about the fact that airports and flying have become a place where a lot of people have decided that, you know, let's start the party. And some people, for some people, that's fine. They get on the plane, fall asleep, and live happily ever after. And for some, it's not. So for people who are not capable of behaving themselves in public, they become a nuisance and a bit of a danger to other passengers and to themselves. So I liked what Chris had to say about, you know, call the flight attendant and don't be confrontational with people, because the worst possible thing you could do with a drunk on an airplane, I think, would be confrontational. Chris, before we go, Japan, the what are the folks saying about travelers from the United States? You've been there for a few weeks now. You're in Tokyo. You must be getting, you know, you're a white guy from the States. You must be getting a little bit of a read. Tell me I've got a tour group headed for Japan in just a few weeks. Give me an idea of what they can expect.
Well, you know, we Americans like to think we're the center of the universe. So we expect that when we go someplace that people will want to talk to us about politics and about, that orange man bad, that kind of thing. But really, no one cares here. It's business as usual. The only thing that I saw was there was a store. It was not a Japanese store. It was actually a store that sold German goods, and it had a sign on it that said, "We don't sell any American products here." And it had a picture of Donald Trump with a line through it. Yeah. And I thought, oh boy, I better not go in there. But I love German bread, so I couldn't help myself. So a couple of days later, I came back to the store. It's just right around the corner from where I live. And and they had taken the sign away. And I went in and I met the owner, and he was just the nicest guy. And he knew we were American, and he treated us very well and very respectfully. And that pretty much reflects what I've been finding in Japan, is that people generally like Americans. They really don't care about what's going on back home. They care more about what's happening here, of course. And as long as you're here to have a good time and spend money, they are happy to have you here.
Chris Elliott, consumer advocate. You can find more about what Chris does at Elliott.org. That's two L's and two T's. There's a free website. There's Elliott Confidential that you can belong to and get even more travel tips and all kinds of ways to contribute on the website. Chris, thank you very much for your time. Be safe in Japan, and we'll catch up with you in a country down the road.
You're very welcome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks to our trotting globetrotter there, Chris Elliott in Japan. He is headed to Laos. Is his next stop. So that's just a country that's always held some curiosity to me. So we'll check in with Chris again in a few weeks.
Michigan and again and again and again and again.
What?
Michigan and again and again and again and again.
Clever piece of music you found for this one, Mark. We're off to Michigan, and most specifically, Mackinac Island, where Mark spent some time. Mark, is it true that Mackinac Island at one time had no cars? Does it still have no cars? What's up?
You were right. Probably the most unique thing about this island is that, indeed, there are no cars. And there's an ambulance. Technically, there's an ambulance on the island and a couple of maintenance vehicles. But we've been here since Monday evening, and I haven't seen a vehicle with a motor in it all the time that we're here. So it is a very, very unique spot. It's a short season. We're up here. The temperature's been around 50 degrees this week, which is really kind of a blessing, and the winds have been very light. And so actually, 50 degrees in this climate, if you're in the sun, is not too terribly bad. But boy, when the wind starts blowing across the Straits of Mackinac up here, it can be cold. So I don't suggest you. I'm at a National Tour Association meeting, and they've tapped into the fringe market here of the season, probably not even the preseason, but before the preseason starts. But there are lots of visitors here. There is a Great Lakes ship that's docked in Mackinac Island today. And so this is a very popular. I am amazed at how many people are here before the season really gets started, which is, you know, mid-June or so, and runs until late August. This is a very northern destination. The one thing in talking to people on Mackinac, though, that, you know, we're not very far from Canada here. And the people on Mackinac have said it's only 2-3 weeks since the hotels and the shops and stuff on the island opened to visitors. And they said, you know, usually Canadians make up about 25% of the people visiting the islands. And they told me there are no Canadians to be found anywhere.
Wow.
So so that is one thing. But I also asked the hotelier who I was talking to if that had affected the prices. And they said, not yet. So this little island, the supply and demand in the summertime because of the short season. And it really is a pretty spectacular place to visit, Tom. The we've been staying at the Grand Hotel, which is very famous. I mentioned in the opening that the movie Somewhere in Time was filmed to a great degree on this island and in the Grand Hotel. If you remember the Christopher Reeve movie, you have to be a little bit older to remember this, but if you don't, it's really a classic movie to go back and watch. The Grand has a dress code every evening, so you can't just bum around here. And during the day, you can be dressed anywhere where you want. But after 6:30, if you're walking around anywhere besides the basement to get to the lobby to get to your room, they ask you to have a coat and tie, and you know you got to wear a jacket. And the ladies have got to have proper attire and stuff. So this is still one of the throwback places, I would call it.
Yeah, you know, that movie was filmed in 1980. It didn't seem like it was that long ago, but that was when Christopher Reeves was doing something other than Superman. It was a great film, and a beautiful, beautiful hotel depicted in it. Is there anything else on Mackinac Island that's also famous besides the Grand Hotel?
Well, there's a fort here, Fort Mackinac, which is someplace you would probably visit if you came here. This was also an Indian burial ground, so there are still some remnants of that in some areas that are protected. Visitors would have a little bit, you'd have to work at getting there or be somebody who can ride a bicycle and be able to get to some of the more remote spots on the island. Most folks are, and there are lots and lots of hotels here. You don't have to stay at the Grand Hotel. The Grand is very expensive. In season, I'm going to say with the meal plan, probably $500 a night to give you breakfast and dinner with that, because the restaurant is very fancy and it's a very upscale place. However, you don't have to spend $500 a night to come and enjoy the beauty of Mackinac Island. There are a variety of less expensive hotels down the hill from the Grand in town with the shops and restaurants that you can stay at. I particularly recommend the Murray Hotel. It's a favorite of mine. It's a family-owned property. And not only does the Murray have great rooms, but they also have a shop that sells the most favorite thing on Mackinac Island. What do you suppose that might be?
Let's see. I don't know. Macadamia nut. Oh, I don't know. Cookies. Ice cream.
You're a Hawaiian guy. You're getting close. Fudge. Mackinac Island is known for its fudge.
Wow.
And you can buy it all. There must be 15 fudge shops in the little downtown here on Mackinac Island. The Murray Hotel has their own fudge. And I'll just tell you, for fudge connoisseurs who are headed to Mackinac Island, it's not only a little cheaper than most of the others, it's also the best.
Wow.
It's made right on the island. So if you're coming to Mackinac, and you will find that there's more than one or two or five or 10 or 20 flavors of fudge. There's now just about everything that you can imagine, everything from s'mores fudge to Heath Bar to Rice Krispies to you name it. Everything, all the world of fudge is right here on Mackinac Island. So you'll want to definitely bring some of that back. There are two main ways to visit the island, Tom. You can come over to the island. You have to come by ferry boat. There's no roads to get here. So you're going to take a ferry to Mackinac, and you're going to either come from Mackinac City or you're going to come from St. Ignace, and you're going to come. It's going to be about 15 minutes on the ferry boat to get here and about 15 minutes back. You can leave your vehicle on the mainland unless you happen to be coming by motor coach on a tour bus, and then, of course, your bus will stay there while you come over to the island. So vehicles all stay on the land. You take a ferry boat to the island. So there are kind of two ways to visit here. You can come over and spend the night or two or three if you wish. Hotels on Mackinac Island are more expensive than the mainland. And as I mentioned, if you're coming to the Grand, bring your wallet in the financial statement because it's not inexpensive. If you do a shoulder season like now, you can save a significant amount of money. And the food at the Grand, the dining room, is just an experience by itself. And we've had a chance to pig out there several times over the last few days. So you can come to the island by ferry boat and stay and spend the night or two or three, as I said. You don't have to stay at the Grand. You can go up to the Grand. There is a fee, though, to get in if you are not a guest and you don't have a dining reservation. So the Grand is a tourist attraction unto itself, and so they do charge a fee. But if you're staying there, of course, obviously you can roam the hotel. But guests are welcome to go up and dine in the dining room at the Mackinac, which is – and the views just from the front of the hotel. We'll put one up at travelguysradio.com this week so that you can see a view if you've never been here. But the other way to visit is to make a day trip here. And so you can park your car on the mainland and take the ferry boat over and go back at the end of the day. In fact, heck, you could do 2-day trips here. There are a ton of lesser expensive hotels in Mackinac City, which is on the mainland, spelled with a W at the end of Mackinac, whereas Mackinac on the island is spelled with a C. So don't get confused. Those are two different, entirely different places, Mackinac City and Mackinac Island. But if you stay in Mackinac City, there's a much broader range of hotels. There are even some budget hotels there. There are two ferry companies that will bring you over here every, so there are boats literally every 30 minutes all throughout the day. So you could come over to Mackinac for the day and go back at night and have a hotel here on the mainland or in one of, in Petoskey or Pelling, which is where, Pelston, where we are tonight, or any of the other places that are around here. This is cherry country also up here in northern Michigan. So there are lots of cherries, and dare I say the cherry season is just around the corner.
Wow, thank you. Thank you for taking us on a little trip to Mackinac Island. Very well done, Mark. It's a wrap for this program for today. We'll be back next Saturday at 11 a.m. for another edition of The Travel Guys.
In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
Traveler is always leaving town. He never has.